Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to exalt you today, dear God. Lord, we're just so grateful to be able to be here, to be amongst friends and family, church family. Lord, there's no other country on this planet that has been blessed like the United States of America. And God, I'm so thankful. I'm so appreciative to have been born here. I'm very, very blessed to have such a wonderful church family that not only worships you, but does it in spirit and in truth and takes your holy word as, Lord, how you intended it to be. God, help us think about that today, Father, in the midst of chaos, pandemics, tensions. God, it's not about us. It's all about you. Every single thing that has ever happened, you knew was going to happen. Nothing takes you by surprise. Lord, help us be the light in a world that is so dark, that hates you, everything that you're about. Jesus said it, if they persecute me, they're going to persecute you. And they did, Father. He poured out his blood for every single one of us. None of us deserved it. God, help us be the light in this dark world. As a church, help us reach out to those, God, that are lost. Help us to encourage our brothers and sisters, maybe those, Lord, that are down. God, help us to just reach out and to tell them exactly what's the most important, and that you're coming back one day very soon. God, help us think on these things today. Help us to just turn everything to you, Father. Even when we feel like there's nothing that we can do, God, we know we can. It's all about you. You're the only one who's willing. You're the only one who could have done anything 2,000 years ago on that cross. Help us always think about that, to never forget that, Father. Be with our leaders, Lord, not only in this church and in the community. Be with all of our leaders across this nation. I pray, God, a great revival would continue to just sweep across in hearts. I pray that, Father, in the midst of all this chaos, God, that you'd use it for your glory. Help us not make it about us, but to make it all about you, to share the love. Even if we get spat upon or if we have things happen to us, Lord, where it inconveniences or even, forbid, we have to give our life, Father, for something. Let's pray, God, that you're the one who gets exalted and not us. God, I love you today, and I just ask, God, that you would help me to just show that in my life. I pray you'd help me to my family to show it in their lives, and that every person here who knows you would show it in their lives. Help us think on these things today, Father. It's in Jesus' precious name, Lord. Amen.
Thank you so much, brother. Well, amen. We'll move that back just a little bit here this morning. I want you to take your Bibles this morning and turn to the 63rd Psalm, Psalm 63. I want to read that for us this morning as we stand. The words will also be on your screen. Psalm 63, a Psalm of David. So let's all stand together for the reading of God's Word. And Lord, once again, we do come before your throne of grace. Thank you for Matt's prayer to lead us into this time of continual worship, Lord God. We thank you for your blessed Word. Speak to us through it today by your Spirit. Revolutionize our lives, sanctify your church, and save those who are lost. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 63, David, by divine inspiration, writes, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee, thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword, they shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Our message today is true worship. True worship. And you may be seated. Now, of course, you were handed the elements of the Lord's Supper this morning before you came in. And I will ask again if you did not get that, so that if you need that, we can get that to you. And we will partake of the Lord's Supper a little later on. I ask you please just to hold on to that until we get to that part of the service today. Because today is a day of worship. Amen. Amen? It is one of 52, sometimes 53 days of corporate worship in the year, whereby we're commanded to come together on the Lord's Day. So today is one of those days. Now things are, again, a bit altered. But I just once again praise the Lord that we're able to come. Amen. Now we don't have a full house. We don't have people all in here. We have them scattered different places. But thank God we are together in the name of the Lord. Because we were meant to gather together. Amen. God did not mean for us to just be out there and do our own thing. Although we are sometimes the church scattered, we need to be also the church gathered. So I'm very thankful that we can come together. And that'll get better and better. Because we're here for that purpose of worshiping God. Amen? Amen. And we talked Wednesday night in regard to our Facebook midweek service on the subject of worship. The title of that message was Real Worship, so it's not very different as far as the title goes, and we're continuing with that theme this morning. Now, of the church's agenda, which of course would be worship, discipleship, and missions, and we've talked about that. That's the service of the church. That's what the church does. We've talked about that time and time again, and we will continue to. But of the church's agenda, worship is the first order of business. It really is. Yeah. It's a primary thing. And I mentioned that Wednesday night. There is an assumed logical order as far as our service goes, and worship is the precedent, the precedent for our lives as those who serve God. Ministry starts with God. So if you want to do good and sound ministry, you've got to start with worship. So worship is so essential. And it really is at the forefront of our lives as Christians, the first order of business. So what we do today, corporately and in a conglomerate way, is worship. I use the word corporate or corporately because we are assembled together. The book of Hebrews tells us in chapter 10, verse 25, to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together. Also, we know that Jesus tells us in Matthew 18 that when two or three are gathered together in His name, where is He going to be? He's going to be with us, right? He tells us He'll be with us always anyway. So what's the difference? What's the differentiation? It's that He is with us in a very powerful and special way today as we've gathered together around His Word. And so we are corporately gathered together. I use the word conglomerate or conglomerately because there are many elements involved in worship. many of which we will do today. As a matter of fact, many of you know, most all of you know, that we were planning to do a baptism today. Watson, Matt's oldest son, was going to be baptized today, but because of a lot of issues there with Matt's family and them being down in South Georgia and all of that, we've had to postpone that for a while, and we'll get to it later. But we were going to do baptism today, and then after we're done today with this message, we'll do the Lord's Supper. So we're observing many of those elements of worship even today, and I'm thankful for that. I love a Sunday when we can do all of them. I really do. But this morning, as we think about worship, I want us to take a look at this wonderful psalm, Psalm 63, and draw three conclusions about worship. We've been here before, and then apply them in regard to true worship, which is really heartfelt worship. David makes us aware of true worship by using words there in the psalm such as thirsteth and longeth. Those are words of passion. Those are words of desire. And so David paints this wonderful picture of true worship for us. Now, there's much more in Scripture about worship, a whole lot more. But we certainly do see that here. Again, this is a psalm of David. David, by divine inspiration, writes this, as he crosses the wilderness of Judah. I call this kind of worship anywhere worship. And that's the way we should be. We should be anywhere worshipers, those who worship God anytime, anywhere. That should always be on our minds. We don't just come together on Sundays to do so. We scatter to continue to worship as well. So let's talk about some things that we see this morning. First of all, we see in regard to worship from this wonderful psalm that true worship involves continuity. It does indeed. It involves continuity. We see that in verses 1, 4, and 6. David says this in verse 1. He said, early will I seek thee, Lord, my God. Now, that might mean different things to different people as far as early goes, because people have different schedules. Amen? But generally speaking, most of us rise in the morning time. Some are just going to bed at that time because of the schedule there at the meal or other places. So yes, there's a difference there. But generally speaking, we think of morning time as a time to rise. David says, I will worship you, my God, in the morning. Worship is a morning thing. Early rising and shining and giving God the glory. I love that song. I think David might have written it. I don't know. Probably not. Somebody recently wrote it, I guess, but the sentiment was there. Rising and shining and giving God the glory. That really should be the first thing that we do every morning when we rise. Now, I'm not saying you have to have your quiet time then and all of that. Many of us do. But I am saying that when your feet hit the, I started to say pavement, I hope you don't sleep outside. When your feet hit the floor, or when your eyes open, the first thing you should think about, I would hope, would be, thank God that I'm here. Thank God that He's here. Thank God that He's my God. And begin to really worship and call upon the name of the Lord. So it's a morning thing. Now, I'm not saying here in regard to the schedule that we find here that it's a strict requirement as to how to pray. And if we don't pray in the morning and at noon and all that, that we're doing wrong. No, that's not at all what David's saying. That's not what the Word of God teaches. But he does teach a constant desire for God. And the Bible tells us in the New Testament to pray without ceasing. So morning time is just a good time to give God the glory. We should actually do it every moment, every day, everywhere, through anything, as we worship God Almighty. So it's a morning thing, yeah. It's also a night thing. In verse 6, we hear David saying, when I remember thee upon my bed. Well, when do you go to bed? Generally speaking, at night. Now, again, different schedules, but generally we think about going to sleep at night, being on our beds at night, meditating on thee in the night watches, David says, by divine inspiration. As you lay there on your bed at night. Now, sometimes it's real easy to go to sleep just like that. You've heard people say, well, I went to sleep as soon as my head hit the pillow, right? How many of you don't have that issue in your life. It takes you a while to go to sleep, amen? And that is the case. Well, good time to pray. Good time to pray. And if you do go to sleep quick, like maybe I do sometimes, right, honey? I'm just kind of gone. She says something to me, and I snore back at her, right? But as you lay there at night, good time just to call upon the name of the Lord and begin to seek His face and just talk about what happened during the day and think on Him and rest in Him and tell Him that you love Him because He first loved you. Yeah, David understood that. It's a morning thing, a night thing. It really was a life thing for David. Verse 4 tells us, "Thus will I bless thee while I live. I lift up my hands in thy name." While I live, Lord, every day I'm going to praise you. I'm going to worship you. I'm going to call upon you. He recognized, David did, and acknowledged that life and every aspect thereof is all about God. Did you hear me? Life and every aspect thereof, every one of them is all about God Almighty. MacDonald says that all of life is not too long to spend in blessing Him. I like that. I really do. And he also says this, "Our hands pulsate with fulfillment when lifted up to Him in praise and in prayer." I tell you, that really resonates with me because there's really just nothing like just raising your hands to God and calling upon Him. It's like something happens on the inside of me when I pray that way. Now, you may find other postures of prayer to be more, I don't want to say magical, but powerful for you. It's not magic. It's not some formula. Raise your hands and you'll get an electric shock. No, that's not it at all. That's not what prayer is. But it's when you come into contact with God, and Danny, you realize that God is really there. He's in spirit, but He's more there than anything else around you. And you lift your eyes to heaven and your hands to heaven. It's like you're connecting with God. It's like you're saying, "God, I'm depending upon you. God, I'm calling upon you." And oftentimes I'll pulsate my hands, and there's just something powerful about that when I pray. I don't know about you. But I tell you, it's good to raise your hands to God and just pray, whether it's morning, noon, night. It's all of life. True worship involves continuity. Also, we know and see here that true worship includes confession. The whole psalm, the reference says verses 2 through 11, but actually it's all of those verses, verses 1 through 11. We actually hear confessions from David in regard to worship. And I won't take time to cite all of that, but just looking down through that, this is what we see. We see David expressing and confessing a passion for God. He calls God my God. Do you call God your God? He desires God. We talked once again Wednesday evening about worship, but we referred back to a passage that we referred to the Wednesday before then in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4, the church at Ephesus. What happened with Ephesus? How did God scold them? He said, "You've what? Left your first love." That has to do with a passion for God. There was a lacking there. That passion is important in regard to worshiping God, having a passion for God. Hey, listen, you married folks, you know that when you get married, you don't just let the flame die out, do you? You keep it lit. You keep it going, amen? I don't care how old you are, your marriage should be on fire. Amen? Yeah. On fire. And our passion for God should burn even brighter. David also mentions his pursuit after God. He uses words like follow and seek. He says, "I'll bless you and praise you. I'm satisfied with you." He pursued after, chased after God. He mentions the power of God that he had seen in verse 2. The power and glory. Well, we need to see that, don't we? Boy, we're desperate for seeing the power and glory of God as we worship God. David mentions, in essence, provisions from God. God helps. He helped David. He helps us. He upholds us. And we must, like David, confess and profess that God's presence is better than the best banquet food or anything else in life that we enjoy, because God provides. He also mentions protection. Protection by God being with him. In verses 9 and 10, we see David once again referring to his enemies. He often makes reference to his enemies in his Psalms. He's talking good about God, but he brings in the enemies. And I think one reason David does this is because he knows that God is going to protect him. He needed protection. We need protection from the enemy. We need to understand that he's always after us. He's always trying to pull us apart. And when he gets us where he wants us, we're defeated. And we don't need to stay there. We need to realize that when we get undefeated and begin to praise God and worship God and serve God, that he'll be nipping at our heels even harder. But he protects us, whether his work is through a human being or circumstances or what have you. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an enemy. It's not just the devil, it's the world around us. It's the flesh that we possess, that we live with every day. Now again, people aren't our enemies, but what drives them is the spirit of this world. The enemy himself, Satan, and all of his demonic hordes that are out there tempting all around us that we don't sometimes recognize, and the work of the devil all around us. God protects us. We should call upon him. You know why? Because God always wins. He's already won and he always wins. David knew that. All these riots that we see and that we've seen all week on TV in America, I want you to know something, regardless of what you see, all the looting, all the burning, all the stealing, all the breaking, all the everything else that you see, that God still wins. He still wins. Listen, folks, this country seems like it's going down quick. If I can say going to hell in a handbasket without being too crude, I'll say it, all right? That's what it seems like. It's like we're just digressing tremendously. I mean, listen, we went from a crippling virus to a chaotic violence. That's it, isn't it? In the last few months, unprecedented times. But you know what? Regardless of all of that, and we could talk about that forever, and believe you me, I have been. I've been opining. I get in front of the TV and I tell those people I give them what for. Don't you? Don't you? Come on now. You know you do. Well, listen. The church, can I have a minute? Let me just say this about that. I've talked to some others about what the church should be doing about all this stuff and all that's out there. Well, listen, folks, if anybody should speak, it should be the church. And some might say, well, the church shouldn't get involved. Yeah, they should get involved in everything. Everything. The voice of God should be heralded everywhere. Now, here's the thing. There's a message for the church, and it's a biblical perspective that killing somebody's wrong, but agendas other than God's, such as Black Lives Matter, I'll say it. It don't bother me none. And those kinds of ungodly things, they're wrong too. It's all wrong. As Mike Huckabee said this week, there's a sin problem that we're in the midst of. So the church should speak into that, should give an opinion, should give the biblical perspective. That's our voice. But as we speak to those people who are wild and crazy and just absolutely out of control, the only message they need, they don't need a message of social reformation. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're lost and undone, and they're just acting lost. They need Jesus. So pray for those people to get saved. I tell you, folks got saved, it'd be a lot better, didn't I? Guarantee you. I don't find anybody that loves God going about doing other people wrong, killing other people, robbing other people, and acting foolish. That's what we live in, though. But God protects us. And then there's the promotion through what God does in worshiping God and serving God. He says, all that sweareth, there in the last part of that psalm, all that sweareth shall glory. In other words, when we pledge allegiance to Almighty God, we will have the privilege of glorying in God and rejoicing in God. So there is that promotion. All of this has to do with confession. That's what worship is. It's just talking good about God. Hey, listen, last week we talked about the birth of the church. We observed Pentecost Sunday. And we talked from Acts chapter 2 about how the people of God, when they were filled with the Spirit of God, they spoke in languages that they did not know miraculously, and other people heard their language in their own tongue from people who could not otherwise speak it. It was a miraculous thing. What were they saying? Were they talking about the price of rice in China? No. Were they talking about the coronavirus? No. They were, the Bible says in Acts 2:11, speaking of the wonderful works of God. That's exactly what David was doing here as he was confessing these things, professing these things. Listen, beloved, worship includes confession, biblical confession. David was referring to the past, the present, the future as he spoke. John MacArthur says that David writes from the perspective of these tenses, the present in that he was seeking God's presence, the past in that he was remembering God's power, and the future in that he was anticipating God's judgment, and how true that is. David was speaking here and confessing the wonderful works of God. That is what we do when we worship. The third and final thing is that true worship infers commitment. Not only does it involve continuity and include confession, it infers great commitment, as we see in verses 1 and 8. That commitment is intense. David said, "My soul followeth hard after you, Lord." There was no soft following in David's life. It was strong. It was unapologetic. It was dogmatic. He would cleave to and depend upon Almighty God. It was intense. It was intentional. Several times David alluded to the phrase, "I will," or some form thereof. Repeatedly he said, "I will." He was resolute. He was resolved. He was determined. He was purposeful. He was loyal to the one that he worshiped. He loved God with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength. David understood what it was to worship God. I told you that we've been here before, and we have. As a matter of fact, this message was something that God just laid upon me just to prepare us as we, I thought we were going to do baptism, have the baptism ordinance and the Lord's Supper ordinance. Wanted to do it all together. We'll do the baptism later, that's fine. But I decided to go ahead and do this because I looked back. I looked back at an old, like 3 months ago, right? Prayer bulletin. The last time we were together on a Wednesday evening was March the 4th. And I looked back and there was Psalm 63. And I looked at the outline on that prayer bulletin, and I said, "Dog, that's pretty good preaching right there." Hilda wrote it. That's why. Hilda wrote it, not me. And so I thought, man, God, I hate to do this, but then again, I don't. I don't hate to bring up something and preach it again. Because every one of you didn't even know that we'd been there before, right? I don't know. Maybe some of you did. I'm not sure, but maybe not. But we have. We've been here recently. And so it's something that we've talked about before. And at the end of that, and I know Brother James, where's Brother James? He's out there. Brother James told me that he liked this. And it always does me good when Brother James brags on me and says it was good. Okay, so that gives me that confidence, right? And I gave you a little poem at the end of that message that we did a few months ago. And this is it. I'm gonna give it to you again. This is about true worship. And it's based upon the psalm. True worship is confession with expression as those delivered from oppression by ourselves or in a session with God as our obsession. Now that's it. That okay? That sound okay?
Pretty good.
Well, I think it says something. Worship is confession. We talked about that. With expression, David was passionate about expressing the things that he expressed about God as those delivered from oppression. If anybody knew what it was to be delivered from oppression, it was David. By ourselves or in a session. Hey, we're praising God here together, amen, in a session, but we'll praise God out yonder today too. We should as we depart with God as our obsession. Oh, are you obsessed with God? Now, we're obsessed with a lot of things, right? But are we obsessed with God? He should be our obsession. Folks, we're here today not to be seen, not to talk small, which is small talk, not to gossip. We didn't come to a concert or to hear a motivational speech. We came here today to worship. So let's apply that. think back to Wednesday. We talked about some of the elements of worship. Well, we've done most of them today. We've praised God, we've sang, we've heard the piano played, we've prayed, we've preached, we've given, we've had a way to give offering, and we were going to do baptism, we'll do that later, and we're about to do the Lord's Supper. So we've included these elements this morning, and we don't always include every element every time we gather to worship, but these are the elements of worship, and we just need to be thankful that God has given us the opportunity to do all of this. And as we do these things, let's not just go through the motions and take it for granted. We talked about this Wednesday. But let's be sincere and mindful of what we do today. We are about to observe the Lord's Supper. We've just talked about worship from the book of Psalms. And now we're going to read about the Lord's Supper and then partake of the Lord's Supper. And it should be something that our hearts are prepared for because, again, doing so is worship. Partaking of the Lord's Supper today is worship. Let me read to you what Paul writes by divine inspiration in 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered, or also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Of course, this is also recorded in the Gospels. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, 'This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." You're proclaiming God's death, Jesus' death on the cross until he comes. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." So as we discussed from Psalm 63, the subject once again of worship. And as we continue to observe worship in a very special way as we partake of the Lord's Supper today, and as we consider what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago, as we remember our Lord, the one who actually inspired David to write Psalm 63, we see his passion on the cross of Calvary. And seeing that, may we humble ourselves to participate once again by the privilege that God affords us in this ordinance. And so I'd ask you today, if you are a born-again child of God and your heart is right with God, I would ask you to partake of these elements in just a few moments as we observe this Lord's Supper once again together. Now, is anybody here or anybody downstairs? Of course, there are deacons down there that can help people down there. And if you need more deacons downstairs, there's some up here. But is there anybody that did not get the elements when you came in? Anybody need them anywhere? Anybody need them? I think we're good, Danny. I think we're good. All right. We're very good. I've asked the deacons to pass these out in an unconventional, unprecedented way this morning because of the way we're doing things now. So it's a bit different. But you have those elements with you, and those downstairs as well are with us as we continue. I want us to consider what I read just a moment ago about preparing our hearts for the Lord's Supper. If there's anything in your life that you need to repent of, so that you might prepare for what I call legitimacy, legitimately partaking of the Lord's Supper, then I want you to deal with that even right now in your hearts and minds. Before we do, I would say to you, if you're not saved today, of course, this Lord's Supper's not for you to partake until you are saved. But I would say to you this morning, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, understand this, that he did die on an old rugged cross. He did raise from the grave. He's a risen Savior, a living Lord. And he'll save you if you call upon him and admit that you are a sinner and that you need him. If he's speaking to you, would you come to him now? And then let me know about it, because I want to know if Jesus has saved your soul. We can go forward with believer's baptism. You can join this church or whatever church God leads you to, but I want you to be saved, and I pray that you would be right now. But for those of us who are saved, who have those elements in our hands right now, the elements of the Lord's Supper, even a prepackaged version of that, as we have that this morning, I want you to pray with me. Father, as we hold in our hands the cup and the bread, Lord, God, I'm sure that it wasn't like it was in Paul's day. It wasn't like it was at that Last Supper in the day that Christ was still here just hours before his death on the cross. It's a little different, Lord God, but still, it's the same. And God, we are doing this to remember, to think, to contemplate, to worship you, Lord God. It is all part of worship. So, Lord, if there be anything in our lives, our hearts, God, I pray that you would convict us. I pray that you would help us to confess our sin and come clean before you and get our hearts right so that we may partake legitimately even now, God. Father, I know that this is very different today, but as we continue, let the Spirit of God just draw us closer to you. And we thank you for this opportunity. We ask it today and prepare our hearts now for thy glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you, if you would, to open your prepackaged Lord's Supper. There's a thin film on the top. I might have to get somebody to do mine for me. But there's bread underneath. You might want to take that off first, maybe. And then maybe dump the bread out in your hand. All right. And then, of course, you can peel the other part back now or before we get ready to partake of the juice of the cup. Be careful, because you don't want to spill it if you can help it. But accidents do happen. But anyway, just you can prepare yourself for that right now. We don't have deacons passing them out. You just have it all with you right now. So just open those containers and we will go from there. As we think about what Jesus did on the cross, this little wafer, and I've heard people say they don't taste too good. You know what I think about when I see these? I think about manna. Manna. I don't know why I think about that, but I think about manna. But you know what it represents? This little thing here, this unleavened piece of bread represents the body of our Lord. And it was broken for you and for me on the cross of Calvary. Something we should never forget. We should thank him daily. But as we partake together this morning, I want to ask Brother Danny if he would to pray for us to lead us into this time of partaking.
Thank you so much for what you've done. We just pray, dear Lord, that our nation will regroup and will come to know you as Lord and Savior, each and every one. Father, it's our prayer today. These things we pray in your name. Amen.
Let's partake together. Amen. Then, as we come to the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary, not a whole lot here, is there? But it represents a whole lot more than this. The blood that'll never lose its power. The blood that'll cleanse the dirtiest, the most rotten sinner anywhere. You think, as we look at America today and see all of what's going on, we think how depraved we are. But God saves those people, and he makes them new because of the blood of the Lamb. Aren't you thankful today for the blood of the Lamb? Amen. Brother Larry, would you pray for us as we partake?
Dear Lord, as we partake of your blood this morning, dear Lord, help us to know and realize, dear Lord, that no one took it. Dear Lord, you gave of it freely. You gave it because you love us. And Lord, you didn't give us the will. You gave all you had. And Lord, help us as we partake of this to give all we have back to you. We ask it now.
Amen. Thank God. Let's partake together. Amen. Today we won't dismiss as we usually do with a hymn. I'm just going to call on one to dismiss us in a word of prayer in just a moment. I do want to thank you for coming and being a part of this service today. I want to welcome our visitors today. We're glad to have all you guys with us today. And we pray that you'll come back and be with us again anytime. You're welcome. We love you. We praise God for you.